Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. This is Word Sexy Radio for Monday, September 19th, 2011. I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're bringing you some old school from Ramsey Lewis. Don't You Feel Good album. This is I Dig You. Welcome to Word Sexy Radio on this Monday, September 19th, 2011. I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're coming at you with this slow and easy show because we're going to be having Miss Cotton, this soft-spoken poet. She's going to be coming on this evening, and we'll be going through some things with her and talking to her about what she's got going on, and we'll definitely make that happen. So without further ado, let me see. Caller, are you there? Hello? Okay. While we're waiting on Miss Cotton to come on, we'll just sit here and kind of relax and go over some things that went on. There was the Fall Into Literary Conference this weekend, and I was really, really looking forward to going to it, but some personal things that came up, and I wasn't able to make it. So I know a lot of people were probably looking for me, so I apologize to you for not being at that event. I wanted to be there, but I just couldn't make it because of personal obligations, so I'll definitely have to make it up to you another time. So hopefully people won't hold that against me. You know, sometimes life happens and you go through stuff and you just have to do what you can do. So, but that's the way things go and that's how it is. So without further ado, I think we have our guest. Miss Cotton, are you there?
I'm here.
And how are you this evening?
I am fabulous.
Really? You sound fabulous. Mm-hmm. You sound like you just got off the sexy boat or something. Where are you coming from?
I've just been hanging out at home for the last couple of hours right now, so, you know, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, we want you to go ahead and kind of introduce yourself, even though a lot of people know that you're not new to this show. We definitely want you to kind of give yourself an introduction and kind of let people know who you are, and then we'll go from there.
I am Miss Cotton, the soft-spoken poet. I have 5 books out. The last book that I released was called The Love Letter. If you don't have it, go to Amazon.com and get all my books at Amazon.com. Or you can go to www.MSKOTTYNSPOTERY.com and check me out there as well. Find me on Facebook. But I'm on here because Red, who is a really good friend of mine, showed me the love and support as one should do, so that I could be able to get my books out there. You know, it was not, I thought it was going to be really, really difficult. And he made it sound so easy, and then I did it, and I haven't been able to stop. So I owe a lot to him.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, you don't really owe me anything. You say that, but that's not so. But that's what I try to do. I see talent. And I try to help people that are interested, that are serious about trying to get out there and do something with their work, and those that are willing to grind and do it. Because, you know, I always say that I'm not going to say anybody can write a book, but I can say most people can get a book written. But that's the easy part of this whole process. The part that is hard is actually getting out there and doing the hustle and actually getting it done. So, you know, you got to get out there and get yourself your brand, which is you. You got to get that out there so people can know who you are and be able to want to read what you have. So,
yeah,
and we appreciate you being able to bring that, because you definitely bring a lot to the table. Not only do you bring great poetry, but you bring a lot of wisdom and a lot of woman's wisdom that you bring. Like when we have our roundtable discussions every first Monday of the month, and she is definitely a contributor to that and brings a lot to that. And I heard that. Since we're talking about that, we're going to have another person that's going to be coming in. Miss Mary Honeybee Morrison is going to be joining our round table as a guest here probably when we do the next one. And she is a phenomenal author as well and has plenty of books out. I think the latest one that I know about was Darius Jones, and I'm sure there's others that she's done, you know, Single Husbands and a whole bunch of different books. So she's erotica writer as well, and she gets into that. So we're going to get her side of it along with Miss Pink. You know, Pink is going to be here again. She's enjoying being on the show as a guest as well. And I guess Mr. D.V. Hint will be around. He's recovering from the Fall in the Books Literary Conference that was this weekend, so he's not going to be here tonight. But I was supposed to have made that, as I said earlier, but I wasn't able to make it. But anyway, so Ms. Cotton, what do you have for us? I know you have some poetry, and you got an hour and 19 minutes of sexual poetry or whatever you want to throw at us. You ready to do that? You ready to throw some things at us, or you want to do some personal talking about relationships, or what do you want to do?
I love talking about relationships because I think that people have really gotten away from what that entails of what dating is and what real love is. Love is not me cussing you out today and then tomorrow I tell you how much I love you. That's not love. That's just craziness. And I tell anybody, if you're dealing with that kind of situation, then it's really not love. You know, and I think we were on here last week at the Women Roundtable, and D.V. mentioned something about being in some type of a relationship. And I said, and I'll always say it, if it's a relationship that's meant to be, you won't have all these extra issues that are coming into the relationship that are unnecessary. So, you know, people can say that all day long, but if you sit around and you wait on God, if you truly wait on the one that's meant for you, you won't go through all that extra stuff. You know, I've actually heard some of my men, not my men personally, but men that I know say to me they married a woman because the sex was good. Well, so what happens when the sex stops? Then what you going to do?
Exactly.
You 10
and you're
years
right.
in.
Yeah.
And she ain't
you're 10 years
like
in, and the pussy ain't good no more. Damn.
Exactly.
So what do you do?
Exactly.
What do you do? Tell us about that.
So if you learn how to mentally make love to somebody first, then that other stuff won't be so it won't be as important because you'll know how to make love to a person mentally, and then they'll want to always give it to you.
You know, I agree with you on that. You got to definitely come to them mentally, make love to their mind before you make love to the body. I am definitely a believer of that. But also I think, and what I'm learning in my present situation, is that there's different layers that you have to go through in a relationship to learn that person. And once you get those layers together, like learn about this thing that this person does, you know, learning the different attitudes and different things that people have, you know, it's deeper than just sex. And once you fall in love with somebody and it's not just about the sex and you're in love with them because if the sex died, you still would love them, then you know you got something. Because that's what it's about. Because like you said, I mean, you're going to get older, and everybody does if they get to live long enough. They're going to get older. And it's going to be a point where, men, let's just face it, when you get 40 years old, you know, everybody wants to run from this and think it's not true. But when you get in your 40s or maybe some in their late 30s and early 40s, that's when your testosterone starts going down and you start needing things. People want to dog you out and say that you're something's wrong if you take a item to help you, like Viagra or something like that. But that's just all men go through this. So it's a point where if you want to accept it or not. But the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, there's going to be a time where women, they go through different things as well, and hormones and things that change. You know, you may not be able to have that sex that you used to have all the time. And that doesn't mean that something's wrong with you, or, you know, and a lot of times what I want to ask you, Ms. Cotton, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but what I want to ask you is, why do some relationships get to a point where the women and men try to put the sex in a box? And what I mean by that is they'll let you have some maybe this week, and when you get it, you only can get one nut, and then that's it, that's all you're getting. Why do people start setting up their relationships in that way when they get in, after they get the person?
Because we have allowed that. It's no different than like we were talking about last week. Why do people pay for sex? Because I can. If you offer me $100 to have sex with me and I tell you no, and every time you ask me, I keep telling you no, you're going to stop trying to get me to have sex with you because it's not going to happen. You got to stand your ground. You got to stand for something. But as long as women know that they can control a man with their vagina, and a woman know, and a man know that you know, well, if I jump through hoops, she'll give it to me. It'll keep happening. If he stops jumping through hoops and she stops saying, well, you didn't take out the trash, I can't give you no sex. That's not how you do it. That's not even what the Bible says do. Every time you say you want it, my position as your mate, as your spouse, as the woman in your world, your wife, is to make sure that you're sexually satisfied.
That's right. You're right, and vice versa. It's not a thing of, you know, everybody looks at the submissiveness and all that. That's part of it, but that's not the whole thing. It's not a duty. You don't want to make it a chore. You want to make it that, okay, even though you and him or whoever is in a situation where you're mad at each other or whatever, I always try to make sure I don't go to bed mad at my spouse. I try to talk to that person, whoever I'm with, because I'm not married, but whoever I'm with, you know, if I'm with them, I try to at least talk it out so that you know, you don't want to go to bed with that on your mind. Mm-hmm. First of all, second, you want to be able to, if the person is mad, and I don't give a fuck how mad they are, you should be able to give them what they want sexually. If they want to make love, even though you're mad and you pissed off, you know, as long as it's not something that he's done to hurt you in a way that, I'm talking about physical hurt or something like that, or bringing you some type of disease or something. I mean, there's situations you got to look at it. But you should be able to give that person, you should be able to still satisfy them. Because what happens is, when you don't do that, you know, all you do is I'm not saying you're going to push them out there, but it's just not right. You know, I would never turn down, and I mean, I don't care if, I mean, unless I'm totally just sick, very, very, very sick, I would never turn down my mate if she wants me to do something to her. If she wants me to go down on her, lick her pussy, whatever she wants me to do, I'm not going to not do it just because she made me mad or whatever. And women shouldn't do that either, but a lot of women, and I say men too sometimes, it's mostly women, they use their pussy as a tool or a pawn to, you know, especially if they know the man really, really, really loves them, they try to use this thing to get things that they want. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they do that. I don't understand why that's done. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Is that because you said why women do that?
Why do people do that to each other? Use their sex as a pawn or a tool to make people do things that they want, like buy certain things or whatever. Well, you're not going to do it. I'm not going to give you none unless you get this from me or whatever. You know, I mean, why?
That's what they've been taught. I love my family, it's fun to say, but I used to watch my aunt literally do that, we would go to the bar, and they would literally say, if you want to talk to my niece, you got to buy me a drink. I was like,
wow.
And they weren't buying it for me, they were buying it for my aunt, who felt like, well, that's my niece, and if you want to have a conversation with her, you got to do something for me. But if he said no,
wow,
never mind, you know, then she wouldn't keep doing that. You know, but it's what we're allowing to continue to happen as a cycle, and as long as we keep allowing it, it's just going to keep going, you know. I don't sell myself off like that, because whatever you buy, I can buy for myself. If I can't buy it now, you better be damn skippy. I could probably buy it later, and it won't come with a cost.
Well, why? What is she getting out of it? She's just getting a drink, and it's like she's pimping you.
Yeah, using me as a
way to get some drinks. Well, if you want to talk to her, you got to buy me a drink. Wow.
Exactly.
And you know, that's true. I've seen that, and not really, really, really recognized it until now, until you brought it to fruition here with this. You know, I've seen people do stuff like that, and I never really noticed that until now. Wow, that's interesting. Well, let me take this time before we go any further. If there's any listeners out there that want to call in to ask us questions about what we're talking about tonight, the number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we talk about whatever we want to, and we say what the fuck we want on this show. So, and I'm saying that very nice this evening, but because it's just me and Miss Cotton. But, you know, you can call in. We would like to hear from you because, you know, we do these talks, and a lot of people really get a lot out of this. And this is a special show because – we didn't really have this scheduled, but we definitely want people to call in and ask. And let me see if this caller here, the 314 number, do you have a question? Okay, they don't. All right, good. All right, well, okay, let's get back into what we were saying then. So people use their sex to get things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So mm-hmm. What is the difference? What is the difference between selling it and using it to get things? I mean, isn't that the same thing?
I think so. I think it's absolutely the same because it's just a different way that you're not standing on the corner, but you're still selling yourself. When a lot of women, let me tell you something, Red. I have friends, and I sit and I listen to them. They women ain't gonna like that I'm saying this, but we sit around and we talk, and that's one of the things that you'll hear a woman say. Girl, he can't come up in here unless he buys something. He can't come up in here unless he pay a bill. And he better be lucky if I even let him smell it.
Wow.
That's the kind of stuff that, and it's, I wrote this piece called The Many Men of Her, Red, okay? And that's kind of what I'm talking about. The Many Men of Her. This woman's got so many men doing so many different things for her. You thinking that you're the only one, even though there's no commitment, you're thinking that you're the only one doing for this woman. Some of them she's sexing and some of them she ain't. But at the end of the day, if you ain't wearing a Jimmy hat and you don't know this woman that well, or you're not committed to her and she's not committed to you, you better believe that you might come up with something and don't think you're the only one. If she got a, just the same with a man, if she's got a scheduled time in which you can see her as, she's probably got somebody else that she's seeing, and you're on the time, you're on the schedule. You're on the schedule, so you can only see her on Tuesday between 5 and 9, and as soon as 8:30 hits, she's trying to figure out how to get you out. But before you go, her bill needs to be paid. So what you going to
do? Damn, that's fucked up. Damn, man, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting used like that. Damn, not Red Snapper. No, I can't say that because my girl ain't doing that. But anyway, but you know, there have been situations where I've known, and sometimes we see these flags, we see these red flags, but we like this person so much that we don't want to accept what's there, and we know they're doing it. And we can tell in their actions when they say certain things that these people are actually using us or whatever. And they'll tell you, they ain't doing that. They'll tell you that they're serious about you. They'll tell you, they might even tell you they love you. But you know, it's just you know, how can you tell or detect when somebody is doing you like that? I mean, what do you do? I mean, how do you figure that out?
There are so many warning signs, but you just choose to ignore them. Just like a woman's got an intuition, a man senses it. He's so swung off the poo nanny. Then he don't care about none of that other stuff matters right now. Until he's got it. For men, which is the craziest thing, he got to actually really see something. Like, you got to see it. Like, it's got to be right there in his face, or dude has to have told him. And that's it. But women, we know. We already know. We ain't got to see it. We know. Our intuition kicks in. Is what we choose to do with that afterwards. So when you stay, I'm going to say this for anybody, when you choose to stay in a relationship and you've been done wrong, don't get mad at when you get hurt again. It's not their, it's no longer their fault, it's yours.
That's right, because you're letting them step on you.
Because you already know.
That's right. That is correct. That is true. I agree with you on that. You know, because when you let yourself fall into, you know, you see the stuff and you still let them do it to you, you know, and you still go on. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know why we do it. I'll use myself as an example. You know, there was a time when Red was real weak. Not saying I ain't now, but anyway, I'm just being real, y'all. I mean, there's times where you fall for people and you just really care about them, and they know it, so they'll do things, you know, and they'll put you in situations and stuff, and it's just kind of messed up that you get put like that. But, you know, you try to do everything you can to satisfy them and be what they say they're not looking for. I mean, you know, they say they're looking for a certain kind of man, most of these women. And then when they get that kind of man, either they're scared to be with that man because they think he's not real, or they get with him then they want to use him. So what is the deal with that? I don't get it. You want a man that's not going to play around on you. You want a man that's not going to bring nothing to you, that's not going to try to get money out of you, but that's going to help you with your stuff. You know, that's going to do things for you. But then when the guy is doing that, it's like you just want to – I don't get that. Can you go over that? Because I just don't – I'm just trying to figure out why people get – why do we ask for things that we really don't want? And I'm not going to just put it all on the women. It's men that do it too. So
you really don't know that's what you want. You just heard that that's something that's good. And it, sometimes it sounds good to say, but a lot of times we ask for things that we're not ready for. You ain't ready for me. I'm going to tell you you're not ready for me. I tell men that right now today. You're not ready for me. I hear you. I really hear you, baby. I hear everything you're saying. You're saying all these beautiful things, and I'm saying how I feel. I'm saying that I'm telling you the kind of woman I am, and it sounds good, and you want to marry me, and I get that, but you ain't ready for me. You're not ready for me, because when you're really ready for me, the two will come together the way that they're supposed to. You won't be sitting on the phone talking to me about it. You'll be doing something about it. A lot of people the thought of being in love, the thought of being that they like the idea of being in a relationship that's good. They're not really ready mentally and emotionally for what they're about to get.
So does that mean like when somebody is with you but then they don't want to further commit but they just want to be with you, in different situations maybe they don't want to get married or they don't want to do something else, but they want you to stick around and they don't want you to be with nobody else but them. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's different scenarios to this.
In that particular kind of situation, in some situations, they're not ready. But at the same time, they're giving themselves some time to be ready for that kind of commitment. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't want to put you in a situation that they are not absolutely 100% positive about.
So that's a respect thing.
Different. That's a respect thing.
Okay. So give me a good example of somebody that's fucking with you. They're just playing around. They ain't really serious. They just want to get what they can out of your ass.
Oh, my goodness. You mean me?
Because I know you know some. Not you personally. I know you know some.
Okay. Let's say, everybody's got Facebook now. So I am going to use myself as an example. I get messages from men quite often to say how much they want to be in a relationship and how much they want to get to know me based on the fact that they, in their opinion, I'm this beautiful woman. Then they read stuff about me, and then they think, oh, she, you know. Then I had one person, say to me, you just look like you're the kind of woman that I want to be with.
Wow.
What did she look like, really? You don't know. You have to get to know, honestly, you have to get to know me to know if I'm a beautiful person or not, because looks are deceiving. You know,
wow.
So people get on my page and they say that kind of stuff, and then they read my poetry. Some of them haven't even read my poetry. Now they've had a conversation with me. Now they think that they're in love. Really?
Yeah, how does that work? Because I'm going to tell you, I guess it must be the genres, because the poetry is much more prettier, I guess. And then the way you give it, the way you deliver it, which we'll hear hopefully tonight a little bit of it, how you deliver it is so sensuous, and they just fall in love, and their dicks get hard or whatever, and they just think that, or even a woman that might, have you ever had a woman to try to approach you? Because I'm sure that you've probably tingled somebody's pussy with your poetry as well. But but in my case with the erotica, it's like either I'm done all the things they think they read in the book, or I want to do them, or they think I'm going to write about them. So they don't want to be involved with me because they think I'm this freak, or they think I'm this person that is just really fucked up sexually and want to get out here and do all this stuff. I'm a freak, but I'm not the guy, the people in the book, okay? I'm just going to be honest. I'm a freak, but I'm not the person that's in the book. I write this stuff because I there's fantasies and some stuff I may have done, but it's not real. It's fiction, people. You know, and I say that all the time because a lot of people think, damn, he's writing this and he must really can do this, or he wants to do this, or he done it. You know what I'm saying? So,
The difference with poetry is that a lot of what we write about is not fiction. Even if it's not about ourselves individually, we've picked it up from somewhere. We've seen it, we've heard it, especially if it's erotic. You know, it either is something we'd like to experience or something we've experienced before, or we know somebody that's experienced. So for a lot of the poetry writers, it truly comes from the heart. It truly comes from the heart. And people, for the most part, can tell that. And it's not just me. It's some of the other poets that I know that write poetry. You have the it's just like being an R&B singer. And I'm going to use Johnny Neal because I really like him. He sings about love, and then a person falls in love with his words. The only difference is that he may not have written what he wrote.
What he sung, So what about this? What about this here? I woke up angry 3 a.m. sweating with a bad disposition because of him. I pray that this is the last night I ever feel like this. It's his fault. If he were here, I wouldn't be missing the aroma of our lovemaking, the late night conversations, the love he eludes. And I might have said that wrong. It's his fault. I'm in love and I'm missing him.
I don't know nothing about that. I don't know. But I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I got this from the Love Letter, which is a group. And it's also a book that you've written. And this is something that you had to be feeling. Like you said, it's true. You were feeling this. Maybe your man wasn't where you wanted him to be. But you couldn't just make that up. You have to actually be feeling that as a poet.
I could make it up.
You can just make that up and say,
for the most part, for a lot of what we write, it's not made up. You know, it's coming from somewhere. Like I said, it may not be something that I experienced personally. I may have had a conversation with a girlfriend who was saying, you know what, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what, that's so true. I felt like that before. I could relate to her.
But I could have did that in my book. I could have said, well, you know, I could have said Frederica was laying in a bed wishing her husband was home. And she left it laid there till 3 in the morning waiting on his ass. And then when he got home, he didn't even come in the room. He stayed down on the couch. And I was mad because, and I'm changing it a little bit. You know, I wanted to smell the aroma of our sex, but you didn't want to be bothered with me. I have something like that. That's one of my characters in my Scandalous Motive series. And they actually have... You know, the characters go through that. Because that's one thing I try to do in my writing, and not jumping from yours, but, you know, I try to make these characters as real as possible, and I want them to do things that people will actually do, and people believe it when they read it, that these people are actually characters. And when people talk to me about the characters that I've created, they actually talk to me as if these people were actually real. And a matter of fact, there are some characters that I have created that are in my books, and the only way you would know who they are is if you read my books. But they're on Facebook, and I was doing this experiment, and I have 3 characters that's out there right now. I'm not going to say their names, but I am playing the parts of those characters, and people are actually believing that these are real folks. Only one person I know that has read my book has come to me and said, hey, I'm going to keep it a secret, but I know this is one of the characters from your book. But there's 2 women I have out there, and there's a man, and they are getting hits. One of the women got hit today about, oh, you're so beautiful and I want to be with you, blah, blah, blah. And it's just a picture. They don't even know if this person is real or not, which lets you know that a lot of people do on Facebook. They get in these groups or whatever, they do what they do, and they make up stuff because all it takes is a web to get an email address, and you can make up whoever you want.
Yeah.
And be these people. And I wasn't doing that to fool anyone. I'm just doing that because I wanted to see how far and these people can go. And they're getting friends every day. I mean, they're getting people. I put these characters on last week, probably like Wednesday or last week, and all 3 of them already have almost 100 friends already.
Mm-hmm.
because they're on there talking about the stuff that's in the book. Hey, I'm freaky. I like to be with two women. I like to be with women and men. You know, and these people are going crazy because they're hearing these things from these people. And these fictitious people that I've created that are in my books, they're actually going to them, hitting them, and trying to get them to join groups and all kinds of stuff. I want to lick you. Can you show me something? You know, they're actually doing this. There's a guy on there. I want to say his name, but I can't. He's one of my characters, and he is just getting hits all over the place. He's getting poked by women and everything because he has abs and he's got this nice body, and everybody's just tripping over the picture, not knowing that it's not even a real person. And I'll tell you, Miss Cotton, later. I'll tell you who they are because I want you to know these characters. But I'm not going to say it now because I don't want everybody to know yet because I'm not through with my experiment. But it's just amazing how this goes on and how it can do it. But there's three characters, and I was going to put – at one point I was going to try to put them all on, but I'm not going to be able to monitor all of them because they're getting so much stuff going on. This one guy is begging, just like you said, using the example that you gave. This one guy is begging one of the characters – her name is Wayne L. I'll say that part. And Wayne L. has been getting, he's been like, you're so beautiful. Why can't I get with you? Little short guy. Looked like he's Mexican or something or whatever. He's just in love with this picture. And he's like, I really want to get with you. Please, let's hook up. I know you live in North Kansas City, and I want to be with you. And I'll come there and everything if you could just hook up. And it's just a picture. He's in love with that picture. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, it's good to do those kind of experiments because people really do fall in love with an image, you know, and then sometimes words can make you fall in love with a person, not even going to lie.
And that's right. Some of the things that I'm having her say and do, they're tripping hard over this stuff, and they're like, wow, really? You know. And, you know, these sex groups now that's on Facebook, so a lot of these groups pop up every day. It's like I get involved in one without me, you know, without asking. People just invite me to them all the time, and I get in them. And I'm in them, and I'm like, damn, okay. And it's mostly the same group of folks. They just jump in these different groups until they get old in one, and then they jump in another one because it's the same stuff. And they're not the real people either. It's a bunch of fake folks with fake pictures that are out there throwing out stuff, and they're throwing sexual pieces and parts of their bodies and stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
People can see it because they're getting off on that. But anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about because I kind of jumped away. But there's this one girl who's been poking me, and she's been poking my friend. I want to tell her that he's me, but I'm going to keep seeing what she's going to do because to me it's like she's poking me and she's doing him on the without letting me know, like it's on the fly, you know, because she don't know I'm him. And she's trying to, you know, do these, you know, different folks. You see what I'm saying?
Well, what's the poking all about anyway? Like, is that supposed to be something that's sexual or what?
Yeah, I take it as a sexual. When somebody pokes me, I'm thinking that they want me to stick them, or they're trying to stick me or do something with me. So I reply back. That's what a poke. What it really means is what it was designed for was they're just letting you know, hey, how are you doing? They're poking you on the shoulder. It's what it's supposed to be. But to me, it's more of a sexual because I've seen people they poke you every 5 seconds all day long because they're trying to have sex. I said, what are we going back and forth? Is this my dick going in and out of you or something or what? What is this? You know, and then they'll laugh or whatever, and you know, but that's what the poke is supposed to be. It's supposed to be not really sexual, but it's supposed to be that you're, you know, trying to get that person's attention. That's what it's supposed to be. But people take it and make it to a sexual whatever. So, but yeah, she's poking me and she's poking this guy, and she doesn't know that I'm the same person. And when I blow her mind and tell her, she's trying to hook up with him and me.
And you're one and the same.
And we're one and the same, but she doesn't know that because it's two different accounts. You should do it, Miss Cotton. You should do it. You should make up your own fictitious woman or man or whatever, and just see, just so you can get the woman side, get these women fucked up, make up a guy, and just think like a man and do some shit, and I bet you, you'll have some strung-out woman over you, hanging over you, or even another guy that wants you, because there's an individual, I'm not going to say his name because he's an author, he is trying to get this guy that I made up too. He doesn't realize that this is a character that I made up, and he has been on him like I don't know what, trying to get him, because he's on that end. So he wants to have sex with
if
this
you're
guy.
Listening.
You know who he is. I'm not going to say his name.
Greg and busted you already.
I did what?
I said if you're listening, Red already busted you. So he knows
that's right.
You.
Yeah, yep. And hopefully that lady that's poked, she just poked me a few minutes ago. I bet I go to that other character and she's poked him as well. But anyway, back to what we were saying. Now, that was interesting what you told me about that. I wouldn't mind writing a book about a character like that, where there's this woman who gets everything she wants out of a man and she finally gets caught up. That would be good, where she has all these men that's giving her all the things she needs, and then she finds this one man that she falls in love with, but she doesn't want to risk losing all the other ways she's been getting paid. Even though this man can do it for her, she just loves she's addicted to the attention she gets from all these men giving it to her. That sounds pretty good. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. We should write that together.
Yes, a friend of mine wanted to use it to do a short movie, a mini movie. And I said, you know, of course, you figure out the storyline, how it's going to go. It's a great movie. I said, because men, you know, I still don't believe that women cheat more than men. But women, for the most part, have a way of being incognito with what it is that they do. Now, if you want to know how to have more than one woman and get away with it, have a conversation with a woman. Don't ask your damn dumbass friend, because his ass don't know either. Because men have the tendency to give themselves away. But I told a guy that I dated this, I told him, I said, if you want to know how to keep more than one woman and each woman be comfortable with it, have a conversation with a woman and she can tell you exactly how to pull that off.
Wow. Do tell. I don't want to do that. I'm just wondering. I'm not really trying to do all that.
Because
everybody thinks, they already think that I'm this dude that's out here fucking everything anyway. And that's not true. I want everybody to know, Red Snapper is not screwing everyone. And I have not done everything that's in my book, okay?
He's not screwing everyone, just me.
Oh, man.
Now you're going to get some calls.
All right, now let me see now. There's some callers. Let's see. We have, let me see now, 916 area code. Do you have a question? And that's the first, it's 271. You have a question?
No.
You don't? You don't want to say anything? All right. Well, thank you for listening in. All right. Okay. So, now, everybody thinks that I am having sex with Miss Cotton.
Yeah, they're going to call and they're going to try to figure out where you are and they're going to bomb you. And then I'm going to have some women trying to figure out how to get to me. And we live in two different states.
That's true. Although I've been knowing Miss Cotton for quite some time, I must say that we have not had any sexual encounters or any of that. And if we did, it's none of y'all business. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, no, we're just good friends. And like I said, she's very knowledgeable in relationships. And you probably should write a book on it. I don't know why you haven't thought about not even doing that, because you do have the knowledge to do that. And if Steve Harvey can write one, and I'm not trying to put you down by saying this, but if my brother Steve, he ain't my brother, but if Steve Harvey can do it, then why can't a lot of us do it? And the only reason why I'm saying that, I'm not trying to dog Mr. Harvey. I'm just saying that he's not an expert. He's just been married a few times. And, hell, I probably qualify. I've been married a few times myself, so I probably qualify to write a relationship book myself. But, I just think that it's
why
common sense.
Steve Harvey. Why is anybody?
Yeah, okay.
You just named Steve Harvey. Like, really?
Yeah, really. And I was.
comedian.
Yeah, why are we listening
Dr.
to him? Yes.
Dr. Ruth now, he's a love expert.
Well, you know, let him tell you, he's got two books out now. He's making big money off of it. And you got people talking about what Steve Harvey said. I mean,
And how many
like,
people? I would like to see a couple that read his book and made something work from his book. I would like to see at least 100 couples because he done sold a lot of books. So he got to make he got to have a high number of turnarounds on this particular topic.
You would think so, but you know, if you know what I know about how to become a New York Times bestseller, and I'm ready to put it out there.
No,
you know, sweet. You know they sell all these books, right? They sell all these books. They do what they're gonna do, and most of the time is you just got to find out what story is a contributor to that poll. And once you find that out, you just buy so many books out of there. All it takes is to buy so many books a month out of there, and you can get on the list. And that's what a lot of these publishing companies do. If they want your book to be a bestseller, they'll go there and buy so many of them and give them away or whatever and write it off as a tax write-off, and then they get that recognition. Same thing with the Essence books and all that. A lot of these authors, you know, I'm not saying all of them do that. Some of them are legitimately selling books and they're getting on the list. Okay, I'm not saying that. But a lot of these people are just buying books. They go to the store and they buy 1,000 books and they are on the Essence bestseller list. If that book store is a contributor to that, which means they have to be on the list of books that Essence looks at, or stores that Essence looks at, and get that number. And all it takes is to have a high number out of one store, and you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. But, you know, I mean, and it's the same thing with the New York Times stuff. They go to big places, and they may sell 10,000. It's a bigger number, though. It has to be 20,000 or 30,000 books or whatever, maybe more than that, to get on that list.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and that's how it's done. And I'm sure Steve Harvey has enough money that he can be on the bestseller list for so many weeks because he's a millionaire, multimillionaire. So he can buy his own books and give them away at a seminar. He can buy a whole bunch of books and have people come into one of his shows and say, just for coming to my show, you get a free copy of the Steve Harvey book. How is he paying for that? Because he bought them. And he's going to give them to you so you can have the book. And then he gets the recognition of being a New York Times bestseller.
I'm sorry I had to bust them out.
But anyway. All right. I know a lot of people trip on that.
I didn't want to avoid your earlier question because I really did. I don't know. We talked about something different.
You remember the question?
About the love letter post.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, you said that wasn't you?
No, I didn't say that. I was.
Well, I know you wrote that.
You kind of bust me out. That threw me into a loop. I wasn't expecting you to ask about that.
Well, I'm sorry. I just wanted to know what was on your mind. I just want to know. I want you to say what you think it is.
At that moment. And I've had times when I woke up, and I sleep alone at night, you know, just for people, you know, I sleep alone at night. I'm not dating. I don't have a man. So I'm single.
What? You don't have a man? What?
No. I'm sure there's some people there's some gentlemen that wish that I was just gone and turn it over, but. Yeah, it's kind of hard. So the thing is, I've had moments where I've awakened, and not even just recently, but in my, you know, past, where I've awakened and I'm really feeling this person, but he's not here. And I can't just get in the car and drive to where he is, or maybe he's busy, or you know, I don't like
maybe
the fact
he's married.
That
somebody might be in a situation like that.
Yeah, or maybe he's at home with his wife.
Yeah, that's
you know.
What I was saying. You know, he could be married.
So,
whatever. I don't know.
But
shit.
Anyway,
okay.
He's not here with me. So when I turn over, I don't have no caressing. I don't have no touching, loving. You know, a kiss on the cheek. You know that. And it makes me, and in this particular scenario, it makes you angry. It makes you angry that you know that you wake up and you're alone at times.
Yeah. And that'd be interesting. I wish I could get some people to call in, some women to call in right now. Women, call in 347-215-8539 Word Sexy Radio and tell us what Miss Cotton is talking about. How does it feel? How does it make you feel to be in bed alone and you know you want to be with someone and they're not there? Tell us more about that, Miss Cotton. I'm sorry I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's interesting.
It is interesting because that's something that a lot of people don't want to admit. The first thing they say is, oh, I don't mind being by myself. No, I don't mind being by myself. I tolerate it because I don't have a choice. I mean, I could get into some any old kind of relationship, but I don't want to do that. I prefer to wait. And because I have to wait. Yeah, I want something genuine. Because I'm waiting for that genuineness, you know, that person that's meant for me, I have to go through these moments of waking up angry or waking up horny or waking up, you know, by myself or, you know, going to bed alone or maybe watching
and
a movie.
And masturbation, masturbation is good to a point, but it just keeps you for a minute. It doesn't fulfill having that person.
No.
So, I mean, I understand. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in a relationship, and I'm with a lovely woman. She's a great woman.
It's
but
not me.
There are times,
talking about a real other woman.
Okay. But and she's a great woman. I love her, and I miss her when I'm not with her because I really want to be with her more than I can. But sometimes I'm just not able to be with her as much as I would like, and it's just sometimes I know how you feel. And she's here in the same city with me, so I understand. And that could even be bad too. You know, you be with someone in the same city and you want to be with them, but you can't because of whatever the circumstance or whatever the situation may be. And it ain't always that you just want to be having sex. Sometimes you just want to just lay with them or just be around them, or you want to just massage them or just look at them, you know, just be there. Like you say, you wake up and there they are. You know, it don't have to necessarily be something going on.
Right.
And you know, sometimes, yeah, I like being single sometimes, but sometimes I want to be with somebody because I've been, like I said, I've been in marriage, you know, several times. But you know, I just want to... I just want to sometimes be with just somebody, you know, and necessarily I'm not saying you got to be married or anything like that, but just you want to be with that person, that one. And it's not that I want to be out here fucking around with a lot of people. I write erotica, but that doesn't mean that I want to fuck everything I see. So I'm trying to let people understand that.
Exactly.
But a lot of people think because you write this stuff or you write erotic for poetry that all you think about is fucking and you're playing with yourself all the time. And that's, you know, it's bad that people think that about you. And when I'm not talking about you personally. One of my
favorite things is just because I'm a sexual person doesn't mean I want to have sex with you. You know, I write this way, and it just means that I am comfortable with my sexuality. That means I am comfortable with who I am as a person. You know,
yeah, you might see somebody, and you might say in your mind, you know, and I'm not saying everybody you see, or this is me. I might say, damn, that they look good. I would do them, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go after them and do them.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean. Yeah, I mean, some people might take that, well, just because you see everything you say, you want to do that. But that doesn't mean you go after it and do it. You know, everybody gets the wrong kind of, they get the wrong concept of things.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. You're a sexual person, but that doesn't mean you want to have sex with everyone. I understand that.
Right. And I really don't. You know,
So how do you deter these men that want you? Because there's lots of men. Have y'all seen Miss Cotton, men? You should take a look at her. She's a very, very attractive woman. And I see why she gets these things happening. And then when she starts doing her poetry, which I don't know if we're going to get any now. I mean, it's like we only got 35 minutes left. But, you know, when she does this poetry and she fucks people up with her, the way she says it, these guys, they actually wonder, how do you stop? Well, I know you don't want to stop it because it's, I mean, so I guess you have more men that are your fans than women.
I have my biggest fan base are men, and since I started writing, what I found is that men want the same things as women. They just don't talk about it. They've been told not to talk about it.
That's interesting because Because, you know, men, it's like you don't think they read as much. But I guess they do. A lot of men do read. It's like my books. You don't catch men reading erotica all the time, but they will read it maybe under with nobody knowing that they're reading it. And then you got these people, these women who try to act like they don't because they're supposed to be so in church and all this.
Oh,
like God didn't create sex. But anyway,
okay.
You know, there's a lot of sex in the Bible, but, you know, people just don't, they just don't see that. But anyway, sex, there's nothing wrong with sex.
People have turned it into, over the years, have turned
how
it into
we
like
get
a dirty form that
right.
is
how do people
because,
get
because it's been abused and it's been used improperly. Like, you know, if I want to be freaky and I want to be nasty, I can do that. But I need to be doing that with the one. I need to be doing that with the one that.
So you ain't trying to do everybody. You just want to do that one.
Yeah, I want to be able to do all kind of stuff to him, to only to him.
Like what?
That's
like what? Give us an example. What do you want him to do to you? No, I'm just playing. I mean, I'm sure there are certain things you want. I mean, there are certain things I want to do too. And I want to do it with that person because, first of all, I don't like wearing rubbers and shit, so I want to do one person. And if I know they're clean and we're together and that's it, then I can do all these damn things because I like eating pussy and shit. If I'm going to eat and everything, and that's what gets me. A woman wants you to eat the pussy, but then they want you to put a rubber on to fuck them. What the fuck is that? Like you ain't got shit in your mouth. You might have something in your mouth. I mean, what is that shit? What's the difference? Okay, oh, your saliva don't have nothing in it, but your dick does.
That's
can you explain that one? Anyway.
I don't think I'm really educated on that. And some women just don't want that moisture in their body like that. Because
okay,
honestly,
I understand that, but what's the difference with my tongue moisture and the cum moisture?
Because certain cum will stick for a couple of days before it comes out.
See, I'm learning some shit because I ain't got no pussy, so I wouldn't know. And ain't nobody fucking me in the ass, so I ain't gonna find out. But anyway,
no, because I've been in a relationship, that kind of thing would happen periodically. If he came in me because we're in a relationship, sometimes his scent would linger. So I've written poems about his scent, and when I say that, I'm talking about his sexual scent. Is sticking with me, so you know the.
It doesn't mean that she didn't wash her ass or nothing for 2 days, okay? So don't get the wrong idea.
No, it doesn't mean that because of course you shower afterwards, and sometimes a dush is only going to work for a certain amount of that. But it depends.
And then you know dushes are not good to use anyway.
Well, it depends on how powerful his sperm is and how hard he came. Sometimes it finds that spot. That, you know, you didn't realize it. It's like, damn, it's 2 days later. Why the hell is this still just now coming out? Oh, my God.
Wow.
You know
I'm learning something that I didn't know about. Men, did y'all know that?
I thought I knew it all. And because I know that, you know, I take a bath and, you know, it's like, okay, this ain't working either. So it's just, and it's not all the time. It's just sometimes that can happen.
Does it depend on how long the guy is and how far he's up in there or what?
No, it just depends on how powerful his
cum is, his shot is. Okay.
His shot.
Okay.
You know. So.
Wow. Well, you heard it here on Word Sexy Radio. You heard it right here.
You didn't hear it from me. You heard it from me.
And it's right here, 347-215-8539. And I know this show is not like what we normally do, but this is a special show because it was only special for Miss Cotton. So she's doing her thing.
All that love. And everybody better be calling in because I sent everybody a message and said, hey, call in. So I don't know if you called in because Red's going to tell me after this.
Yeah, because I see phone numbers, so
and
I record them.
We're going to go over number by number. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding. It's scaring everybody. I'm like, let me hang up now because my wife ain't supposed to. My wife don't know I'm calling.
But normally, like I said, most of the time, Word Sexy Radio is kind of wide open. Tonight, we're a little tamed. But most of the time, we get a little hot up in here. And you know, the subject matter is deep, but you know, it's what it is, and I think we're learning some things tonight as well.
Red gets a little,
you know,
off
it's yeah.
Red is you know what, you're very you're a lot reserved right now. Surprising.
That's because it's just me and you. I don't have no other freaky people on here that's to compete with. So not that you're not a freak, but you know what I'm saying. It's just that I don't have all these crazy motherfuckers like DV Hinton. He's not on here. He ain't tripping. No. Pink's not here, or anybody else that comes on. And we're not getting any questions. Why come you guys aren't calling in? Is the show boring tonight because there's not a lot of, you know, Batman Sounders and all that shit going on, or what? Just the number is 347-215-8539. We got about 29 minutes left before the show is actually over, and we've been on for 90 minutes. Can you believe that? But anyway, I'm just learning. I think this is a good show still, because we're learning some things. And Miss Cotton, she's a soft-spoken poet, and she does do great poetry, and she do get guys. I've heard when she's been on the show before how she does her poetry, and guys that listen to it, and how they just get on here and it's like they're jacking off while they're talking to her. It just fucks me up, because it's like, they're saying, well, damn, that shit was so good, and I felt so, you know, it's like, you know, it's just funny. And women don't, we're going to have to start talking about scandalous motives, because I haven't talked about my books the whole 3 years that I've been doing my show. Nobody's heard anything, so I want to start talking about my stuff.
Yeah, we're supposed to do that. I'm going to read the entire book, and we're going to do a review and interview Mr. Red the next, One of these shows. I have to wait for him to say.
Yeah, we're going
to
do that. Because I would like to be interviewed. And I'm going to have you. I'll be over the show, but still you interview me.
I'll ask you questions. I got some questions.
And have people call in that actually read the book and what they think about it. Because
right.
I have 10 books out there. Well, actually 9 and one in the way. And I'm writing another one right now that's the 10 years later version of Scandalous Motives. It's called Scandalous Motives, one decade later, and it's really crazy, because this will be the fifth book in that series. People really love these characters and they believe them, and they're based right here in Kansas City, and they're doing stuff, and I'm putting stuff in there that's talking about Lamar Avenue and different places, the Plaza. I mean, different places. If you're from here, you know these areas that we're talking about, and you know they see stuff at Olin Park or in Leawood, and they're like, wow, you know, it's just amazing. But the sexting and the things that these people are doing, it just fucks me up. These are some crazy-ass people. And these are some educated folks that have degrees and stuff. It ain't ghetto-ish. Like, and nothing against urban fiction and nothing like that. People who write stories about the drug dealers and all that. That's great. Those are good stories, too. But mine, I just take people and put them in a different category. But just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you ain't a freak or whatever. So that's what I do. I take doctors, lawyers, and all that and do that. Put them in those categories. Just like this book that I have out now called Acts of Congress. It's about congressmen. It's actually about congressmen out here fucking around on our money.
Yeah. I can't wait
to pick this one up. This is a good one.
I can't wait to read that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, I decided that I wasn't going to put out any more books for a minute because I wanted to promote what I already have out there.
Right.
So. Again, Amazon.com is where you can find Cotton, K-O-T-T-Y-N, is the keyword. I wanted to do a piece for you because I know you've mentioned it a couple times.
You can do a piece for me.
Something.
You do, huh? Okay, well, you got 25 minutes left. You need some music in the background when you do it or what?
No, I have some music. I don't know how well you'll be able to hear it, but I'm going to let it play and see what happens.
Okay. Well, it's on you then.
This piece is called It's Morning. Okay?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, you let me know if you can hear the music. And I wrote this because it was in the morning, and I had some things on my mind, and I wanted to say some stuff.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you probably can't hear the music, but anyway.
No, but I can put some music, but I don't know what kind you want, so. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just take it off because it's not going to work. It's morning. We lay here basking in the aroma of our sexual scents. this right here was meant for just us to. We play sex games and explore. We even use our sexual toys. This is for our sexual joy and relayment. A ray of sun shines through the window as we role play our different positions. Sexual pleasure is our mission. This right here is a competition. See, we compete to see who will come first or last. Only one of us can pass this simple test, and we do our best. It's morning and I'm still wet from last night. Is the camera still on? Close the curtain and turn off the lights. This is about to be our motion picture. Move your body closer, a little bit near to her. Kiss me and I'll kiss you back. Can you hit it from the back? It's morning and that ain't sunlight across your face. See, moments like these can be erased or replaced. A smile goes across your face. For in this morning, I ride you like I was in a race. Sat along, keep up with my pace. I got this place. It's morning.
Wow. Okay. It's morning. So you was thinking about that. Now, was you actually feeling that or going through that, or you just got up one morning and you felt like you wanted that? And
I was feeling
how did you come
like
up
that.
With that? You was feeling like that? What?
Thinking, you know, I don't like to tell all my business, but I like to ride. So I want my trophy. I want my award when I'm done. You know, let me know what it was like for you.
Oh, you're
I'm
a rider.
That's it. Yeah.
So you like that morning. So when you say it's morning, would that what I get out of that is that morning erection is what you're looking for.
Yes,
you get that.
Absolutely.
When that I ain't went to the pick a piss erection, and you ride that motherfucker.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Nice, you know, it wakes him up. It definitely wakes me up. I'm getting what I want.
Kiss you there and kiss you here and kiss you there and all that. Okay, all right.
That's right. That's right. Oh, get us over trouble.
So you was actually going through that, or you just?
I was feeling that on some mornings. I have those mornings where I'm thinking, dang, you know, and to be honest, I contain it. I have control, so I've learned over the years how to put that in the box because if I don't have it and I keep, you know, wanting it, it's just gonna make me more sexual. Because when I'm sexually frustrated, I'm an angry person.
Well,
so I have to contain it because there's nobody here. So I can't be, who I'm going to be mad at? The kids? I can't do that. I can't be.
I hear you. That's a Capricorn, ain't it? That's that Capricorn thing. That's what that is.
It might be. I don't know. It might be. You know, don't
you Capricorns can be mean when they want to be.
Well, when we don't, for some of us, if we don't get none, yeah, we could be real.
Yeah, I hear you.
I can be a little angry.
Well, you know, I wonder. I don't know if I've ever been mean and shit because I ain't getting no pussy. I don't know. Maybe I have. Maybe I don't know.
It's the sexual frustration in what I had to learn to do because. Well, what can I do about it if I don't have somebody here to sexually satisfy that need? So,
you like the real thing so much that masturbation just doesn't do anything for you then.
No, that makes me more angry actually.
Hmm.
And I've actually heard my friends say get a dildo, and I'm just like that's not gonna work for me.
Well, some people don't like inanimate objects in them.
But it's fake.
You know, they don't like this shit. Yeah, they want the real thing.
But to be honest, now if we're using it together, like if he's using it on me, then that's fine. But for me, it won't work because I feel.
Why would he use it on you unless he's sticking it somewhere that he can't stick his dick in, right?
Well, because he might be.
Why are we here to that?
Because he might be tight.
Yeah, that's true.
But I still want to keep going. So,
and fingers don't do it.
Right. That may not work. you know.
Wow.
So sometimes it's not a bad deal, though, because if he's already, because in some instances he may have already came, and he may be, I don't know, he might be tired, or it may have been an hour or two, and I'm still ready to go. Everybody's different. So in order for him to satisfy me, if that's what he needs to do, then we got to do something, because if I get up off this bed and I ain't had an orgasm yet, one of us ain't going to make it through the day correctly. So we're going to have some problems.
Wow.
You know.
So my thing is the way you should make love, and I can't tell nobody how to make love, but, you know, you eat it. Fuck it, eat it, fuck it, eat it, fuck it. You know, when your dick get ready hard again, you get back in it. When it's, you know, you should be able to do that. But instead of women, that's what goes back to what I was saying earlier about putting you in a certain category of how you have sex. You know, you may have somebody eat you for 2 minutes, then they want to fuck, then they come, and then they roll over.
Yeah.
That's not doing nothing for you. But a lot of women like their men doing that because they control them that way.
Right.
And my thing is you shouldn't put that in a like that. You should be able to just do it. You know, you just make love.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you do this for a while, you do that for a while. And just like we had on the show last month, I think it was, when Pink was talking about, she wrote there was a scene in one of her books where the woman was having sex until the morning came. And somebody, I ain't going to say their name, was on the show. It's like, how in the hell can you do that? Because his dick ain't going to stay hard that long. Which let me know that he don't know how to fuck. I shouldn't say that because he might be listening. But anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
It means that you think that if your dick's got to be hard for 4 hours. I mean, they tell you not to have that when using the Viagra or something. So what makes you think that you're going to naturally do that? My thing is you can make love to somebody that long if you do other things, and that's playing. You can't just call it foreplay. You got to eat each other, do each other, and then you, when your penis is ready, you get it, you go on in, do that, and then when you get done, you go back and start eating again, and you just keep doing it. That's love making.
That's true.
That's not, I'm going to only eat now, and then I ain't going to eat it after I didn't nut it in it or whatever. I mean, you know, I ain't trying to, you know, I'm just saying, some people.
Right.
But if you really care about the person, you're gonna really make love to them.
And that's true.
So you got to do what it's going to take to make love to them. So
you're going to start mentally.
It's definitely got to be from the head. You know, like if I make love to my woman, I want her to know that I want to make love to her, like, the night before or a couple of days before, she wants to know so she can be ready for me when I do get with her. And then you got to do everything you said you was going to do, which means the biggest thing to that is taking your time.
That's all.
That's the biggest thing that men do wrong, is don't take their time.
I told a guy who doesn't live in my city. We've talked on the phone a few times. Initially, I let him know that he had made love to me several times, and physically he had never even touched me. And he was like, "Oh," I said, "Yeah, possible." See, and it's not even that he was talking dirty to me, or that he was even talking sexual to me. It was just that he was talking to me, and he wasn't. He was talking to me about some things.
So how does that work? Is it the sound of the voice, the way the man talks, and is it like the sexual sound, or is it the, like, the way I'm talking now? Of course, it's a radio voice, but does this do anything?
It's not a radio voice. That's your voice all the time. But you have a sexy voice. I don't know. You do. You have a sexy voice, so it's like that all the time. And so, yeah, that right there, if you're having a conversation with a woman and you're getting to know her and you are not only just talking to her about, you know, what's going on in your life, but you want to know what's going on in her life and the conversations take a turn, at some point it could turn into a lovemaking, mental lovemaking session for the woman. And it could be for the man too, but men are physical and women are emotional, so it's usually the woman that, you know.
Well, you know, men get off on it too, especially if they know it's working. And it's,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
If they know the woman is attracted to their voice, yeah.
Right, yeah.
It does work. It does work.
And it's okay, lady, to tell a man that you're digging him. It's okay. Go in with no expectations. Do nothing, expect nothing more than just to tell that man that he is attractive and that you think that he's fine or you like the sound of his voice or you like the way that he dresses, and then back up and let him do the rest. But if you at least let him know, that's an open door for him to then do whatever with it. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm gonna say this to the men that are listening. Men, we need to stop being scared to tell our women how we really feel about them. You know, there's so many times that women don't know, and then when they come to you and ask, it's like they got the wrong idea because they don't know what it is that what we feel for them. I think we should always let them know in the beginning. And I think a lot of times men don't do it because they want to keep on getting what they're getting. If they feel, they tell her that they're not real serious, that they're not going to get it anymore. But if you be honest with the woman, I think and she knows where she's going in this thing, she'll make up her mind, and most of the time you'll probably still get her. She'll respect you because of that. But if you love her, tell her you love her for real. What's wrong with that, man? What's wrong with being emotional? I think men need to stop playing all this hard shit. To me, being a man is being able to cry and be able to do all these things. But, you know, a lot of men think that's weak because they've been brought up to think that. But there's not a day that I don't tell my lady how I feel about her. There's no question that she knows where I'm coming from. And that's what we do wrong.
You have to keep in mind that if you don't tell her and she's got to assume and you're not telling her, she's going to find somebody that will tell her.
Exactly.
Just like if she's not giving it up to you sexually, you're going to find somebody that will. She's going to find somebody that she can, that's going to tell her that she's beautiful, that's going to tell her how he feels about that. And that's one of the things that I don't like. That's the only downfall that I say about expressing how you feel about somebody. And you know that there's something there. Now they're not telling you how they feel. So it makes it harder to know where we're at with this relationship. So for me, as for me being who I am, I'll back off and I'll just let you figure it out from there because I've already put it on the table. So now because you are the man where I stand is, now it's time for you to make the next move and for you to make a decision on whether you want it or you don't. It's just as simple as that. You have two options. You want it, you know what it's like. I've already expressed to you that I'm feeling it. So what you gonna do? If I'm not hearing that you're interested, if I'm not hearing that you want me, I'm backing way off. And you may not even hear from me. I might shoot you a text every now and then and say, hey, I hope things are well. God bless. You know, hope it all goes well for you. You know, simple things like that. But you got to express, like you said, you got to express.
Yeah.
Do we have time for me to do one more piece?
Yeah, we got 11 minutes. You got time to do one more piece, and then we're going to probably start wrapping it up.
Okay. So now this one will have music to it. So you tell me, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it too loud?
No, we got it. It's good.
Okay, good. She unbuttons his faded baggy jean pants, loosens his belt. As he rises with a surprised look in his eyes, he relaxes his upper body. Body can't keep still. She touches what she calls the beast in him, and he gets chilled. As she removes the white tee that grips his chest, it's filled with his sweat. He's dripping wet. This isn't lovemaking, it's just great sex. And they get naked. She strips him of his faded baggy jean pants down to the boxes which cover the lover in him. Her clit starts doing flips, so she straddles him. she proceeds to move in a back and forth motion. As he rises with a surprised look in his eyes, his sex continues to rise, and he's almost naked. Still on top, she realizes that she's wet, her pink lace panties dripping with her moisture, and he still wants her. He proceeds to remove her pink lace bra, her nipples on hard, saying, "Hello." He takes his tongue and moves it real slow, licking just once. She's aroused and ready to come. He can see the surprised look in her eyes, and she's excited. He puts his mouth on her, sucking one breast at a time. It feels good to her, so she relaxes and closes her eyes. He's heated, and she's ready to come. He rips her pink lace panties from her ass, takes both his hands and grabs, picks up her lower body, and they both got naked. How was that piece?
Wow. Hey, I like that because it had the little India thing going on back there. That was pretty nice.
The bongos.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. That was pretty nice. And I'm sure you did you do that when you did your live show?
I did. I did that when I did Skin.
Okay.
I did. So, you know.
Well, yo, well guess what? I got a surprise for you. You got 38 more minutes now because I added 30 minutes to the show. All right. So go ahead. You got a whole 120 minutes of just Miss Cotton. So if anybody's out there listening and you still can call in, the number is 347-215-8539. It's We're Sexy Radio, and we have Miss Cotton, and she's going to be doing another 30 minutes of talking here. So go ahead.
You know what I did want to talk about? Because it's one of the things I think that a friend of mine, one of my Facebook friends, I've never met him personally, but he read this piece and he said, you know, Sheila, many women out there that are like you that are feeling this way. So the thing of it is that men, if they've never seen what a good woman looks like, how can they know what a good woman is? And the same for a woman. A woman, if she never knows, she's never seen what a good man looks like, then how is she to know what that is? We can speculate and we can try to figure it out, and we can say, okay, well, we want this and we don't want that, but does that make him a good man?
Hmm.
You know, what I believe is a good man may not what she believes is a good man. What you think is a good woman, he may not think is a good woman, you know. For some women, this is crazy, but for some women, they believe that if he puts his hands on her, that he loves her, that that's a good man to her. Because she thinks that he, you know, if a man is making love to her properly, she thinks that that's a good man. Or if he's buying her things all the time, she thinks that that's a good man when that's not the case. Because she doesn't really know. Nobody sits down and say, baby, this, we have the sex talk, now we're going to have the relationship talk, and then we're going to have to talk about what a good man is. If you've never seen that, it's not something that people actually have a conversation about, to be honest. You know, I know my mother didn't have it with me because it's not something that you have the sex talk, you have the get out and get a job talk.
You have
go to school talk, pay bills talk. But nobody ever really, not too many that I know, have sat down and said, well, let me tell you what a good man and what a man is supposed to do and how he's supposed to treat you. This is what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa for a man. You know, we look at the men that we've had in our lives and say, well, is this what a good man is supposed to do? Is this what he's supposed, you know, or is this what she's supposed to do? Is this what a woman is supposed to do? You know?
Right.
How do you know?
Exactly. So how do we fix that? How do we fix that problem?
You have to.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, at this point, you have to know what it is that you want and what you don't want. Now, if I know that you suck your teeth at night, am I going to be able to deal with that for 50 years? Probably not. So yeah, it just may not work. I mean, I'm just using that as an example.
I understand. Yeah.
But if I know, and if I know that you have tendencies of being the kind of person who has to have attention from a whole bunch of different women and not just me, then that may not be something that I want to tolerate for the next 50 years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let me bring in a friend of mine that is coming on the show right now. I see her number has popped up, and she is like an awesome fan of my books. I'm going to bring her on. So let's see. Are you there? Hold on a second. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Is this my girl,
hey.
Crystal?
Yes,
how you doing?
It is. I'm great. I'm so tickled to finally get in, okay?
Yeah, you finally did. And I saw that
yeah.
number. I said, let me bring her on and say hello to Miss Cotton.
Hi, Miss Cotton. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So what are you all chatting on?
Well, we were talking about different stuff, you know, like relationship mm-hmm. stuff and stuff like that. But one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on, you said I was leaving you in the dust. I saw what you had on Facebook. But what I kind of wanted to do now is, and not trying to get away from what Ms. Cotton was talking about, but she mm-hmm. had always brought up some things about, I never talk about my books on the show. And since I saw that you connected, I said, what better person that can talk about any books that Red Snapper has written but Miss Crystal? Because she has read, I think you've read mostly all of them.
I'm caught up to the last, this new volume thing. I was like, wait, I don't have that.
Oh, but that's not my book, though. The one you're talking about, the volume, the sexual mm-hmm. sinners and all that, that's another guy. The book club is just reading
okay.
his book. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think the latest book that's out that I have now. See, no, you're not. The latest book that I have out now, I think, is Acts of Congress. I don't know
if
you have
that
one.
That's the one we have to catch up with because, you know, I do like my stuff signed. So it goes into my personal.
Yes, you do.
You have your own shelf, I must say.
Uh-huh.
That is pretty neat. I'm really excited about the Erotica Book Club. That is really cool.
Well, we're trying to get people to do some things. So, and Miss Cotton is at Arthur as well. She writes erotic poetry, and she's very good.
Oh, okay.
And you probably need to check out some of her stuff, too, and she'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But what did you get out of reading some of the scandalous or any of the books that I've written? Let's kind of talk about that.
Uh-huh.
First of all,
okay.
What do you get out of reading the Red Snapper book? What do you get from – what do you look for when you get a Red Snapper book? What is it that you're looking for?
Tantalizing stories. Engaging plots. I like the twists and turns. And it's really cool to read something that's so familiar from where you're from. So that really drew me in first, the first time I got the, you know, the first book I ever got. So I found that to be just really cool. It made it really exciting for me as I'm reading and my mind is following and they're talking about going to Overland Park or to the Plaza or, you know, eating at some of the same places I've been to. You know, it's almost in my mind as if, what if I had been in the restaurant at the same time the scene is taking place? And it's almost like I could see the couple, you know, at the table. And so it was so engaging. I found that just totally riveting. So I kind of got hooked on it, you know. And so some of the people here that I've passed it on to or got them to read it, was they found that really cool tool, too, that, you know, it's a book that, man, it was kind of funny to read a book and, you know, your city's in it and stuff you know. And sites and things like that, because we get so used to reading so many other books. And, I mean, you do
from
feel
Atlanta,
like...
From Atlanta, New York, you know, all the bigger cities.
Or even if it's in, you know, another country, you just feel like you get carried away to that place. So it's nice to feel like your home place is something exciting and tantalizing. In fact, I'm going to, you know, driving around looking, I wonder if that house could be where the meet up, you know, that's the cartel.
The Gill.
I'm like, I wonder if that could be it, you know. So that is always really exciting. I mean, because for some reason the characters don't really ever leave your mind. They're just kind of trapped in there and they're, you know, I don't know if I just become that engrossed in my books and who these different characters are. And even the one that took off to Colombia, being from there, you know, I have a lot of family members and stuff there. Really, I even went to Columbia College, you know, for a while.
Right.
So that was really cool to read some of the stuff going on and there. So I think that was one of the biggest things that just really drew me in. And, you know, don't get me wrong, the storylines get really good. And okay. He likes to read a little something to go to bed by. So that's what
I hear you. So what about the sexual scenes in the book? Can you kind of explain? And, you know, this is Word Sexy Radio, so you can say what the fuck you want to. So you can say however way you want to explain. What does the sexual scenes do to you, Crystal?
I think when I read it, and I'm in, you know, this is my nighttime, my downtime kind of thing with my glass of wine, or, you know, I'm having a martini or something. I consider it my foreplay. I do have my partner or something, I'm like, he already know. If you come in and I'm reading, oh, hell, I got to go to work. You know? I really got into reading to him. And he thinks that is the biggest turn on. And he's like, I've never been read to. You know, mama didn't read to him and all that stuff. He goes, but that's some sexy ass shit. And I've been telling
him. But it
women,
is sexy because men don't, they don't expect their women to read that kind of stuff to them. You know, that's what gets
right.
me.
And there's
and
a lot
I
of women
Cotton,
that have a hard time talking dirty. And it really
right.
helps. So, yeah, I think it's really hot. So, for me, I love it. I want you to come up with maybe some short stories, you know.
I have an anthology that's out already, but we're getting ready to do a second one called Contagious Lust 2, and I'm going to ask Miss Cotton if she could put some of her poetry in there as well, because I want to mix it up with just short stories and some erotic poetry as well, and if she's interested.
Just give me a good page of that, you know, and once I read that, he good.
Yeah, I know, that's right. So the sex is hot, it's great. And my books are not really just sex, not about sex. I think the sex just carries it over. I think if there was no sex, you still would have a great story. I don't know. Is that,
I really
is that true?
Believe, and that's one reason I said I enjoy it, that, you know, I get drawn into it, and it has, you know, twists and plots and, you know, many characters you can either relate to or follow through and understand how things are going on. But then, you know, the nice sex scenes and who all they hook up with and how it turns out.
Right.
Totally cool. And the, what is it, the vampire seductress of a, say the title.
Oh yeah, Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress, yeah. That's the succubus.
That
book.
One is
yeah.
so cool. I mean, I've had like three other people get hooked into that book. They were like, that was so neat, I couldn't put it down. You know, it was just a whole different type of sex. I mean, it was like, ooh, I ain't even looking.
It would be
at
different
him.
If I had a woman that fucked me as good as she was fucking him and then
yeah,
blow my ass
up
afterwards.
Did you just be a solid nut? Come on, now. Yeah. Everybody wants
hey,
to know
so
about
crazy.
That one. That
hey,
was hot,
Ms.
Cott, you know?
That's the succubus. She's killing these women, man. I mean, these women are, she's killing these guys. She's having sex with them and blowing their ass up to get strength.
Yeah.
So...
And
yeah,
once they reach orgasm, that's every time they you know, ejaculate or they come, that's when poof, they just turn into a
that's
pile
when the
of dust.
Comes
like,
in.
You know, yeah, you like to think you just blow a nigga away, you know. Look at that. Look
no,
at that. No,
that's right. Just get rid of them. Get some sticks out of them and get rid of them. Okay.
Like,
I hear you.
Say next. How cool.
Right. Well, let me don't go away. Don't go away. I think we have another caller that may have something to say that's calling out of Atlanta.
Okay.
I think that 773. Do you have a question?
Hey, Tampa, what's going on?
How you doing? Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yo, my name is Mark Livingston. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had that 773. I got that mixed up. Mark Livingston, okay. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. I enjoy your show. You do good work on here, man. It's wide open for adults. I really enjoy it. So you do
well,
a great
I appreciate
job, man. I appreciate that. No problem.
And I thank you. I thank you very much for that. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. I just wanted to say, Ms. Cotton, I'm sitting over here in Chi-Town. You know, it's kind of windy. It's a little cool. It's not as cold as it's going to get yet. But I swear to you, if I could hear your voice on a constant.
What did the fuck did I say earlier, Ms. Cotton? I told you, you be fucking motherfuckers up with your voice. Didn't I tell you that shit?
Listen.
No.
You make me want to write. She make me want to write poetry. I can't. Yeah, listen. She make me want to write poetry, and I can't string together a line. So I'm telling you. And then I got your book right, and I love this. The one for me. I love that jump because I felt like you were talking to me. I mean, not that I'm crazy, nothing like that. But the way you wrote it, and the way you, you know, spoke in that omnipresent third person was like, yeah, I could see you laying next. Or I could see talking about the hand so strong and put it around the waist. I was like, wow, it was so visual, so detailed. You're a really excellent poet and writer. I just, you know, I just wanted to tell you that, you know.
Thank you very much.
She's very humble, as you know, as you hear as well.
Wow.
She's very humble. Yeah, she's very humble. And that voice, that sexy-ass voice she got, my God, she just blows your mind.
Man, you know what? I really, can I say something to you? Can I try a little something? I don't want to take up all the time, but I've been listening to you a little bit. I caught your show in Sacramento, seeing, I saw you there. Can I do a little something real quick for you? If you don't mind, is that okay?
Please do.
Okay. Even though I live in the Midwest, I wish I had California love. Because then my nights wouldn't be cold. I wouldn't need the covers. I wouldn't need the pillow. I wouldn't need to turn my thermostat up. Oh, I would be warm, perpetual. And this is not anything that has anything to do with sex or lust or anything like that, even though perhaps that would be the culmination of the apex. No, this would be the intimacy that man and woman that God created us to strive to be. See, Ms. Godden, if I had volition, if I had permission, if I was so highly favored and blessed to be in your physical proximity, I would be the man that I was supposed to be even more so. I would love you as if you had been never loved before. I would, from the bottom to the top of your pretty head, from the insides, deep depths of your brain and imagination to the wholesome good kindness of your heart to the very recesses of your vaginal, we would engage in monologues, making them dialogues. Love you. I would love you as if the wind coming off of Lake Michigan tears through all the buildings and all the people here in Chicago. I would love you like that. I would take you in my arms because I'm somewhat a big guy, and hold you and protect you, put you behind me. And because I was raised right, you would walk on the inside of the street when we're walking down the street. I would love you. But perhaps this is just delusions of growth. Perhaps I have sipped too many Diet Cokes. Perhaps I've listened to too many of your friends. Perhaps I've too many of them. Perhaps I've had sleepless nights here in the windy city of Chicago. But if I did, I say so. Because truth be told, if it was up to me, I would love you. That's it. That's it.
oh my God! Can I marry you tomorrow?
Why wait till tomorrow? Why don't you do it tonight?
That's what I'm saying. Can you get here? No, you're
waiting.
let me just say, for people that don't know, this absolutely adorable man who called in to give me praise is DPA, the greatest poet alive. And he is phenomenal, and I love his work. So that piece that was in a love letter, it was written about him. So I'm just going to put him on blast since he came in with that. I love that. That was beautiful. That was very beautiful.
I just thought that up. I just figured, you know, like you called in for me, I wasn't calling in trying to, you know, be all, you know, because I'm an egomaniac. So I wasn't trying to call in on some GPA issues about you. I've been listening. You know, this darn BlackBerry's been acting up, but I've been calling in and listening to you. You are phenomenal yourself. Your voice, I've always told you this. That voice of yours, Lord have mercy. Let me hold on. Let me exhale a minute.
But like I said, okay. Brother, and we was hoping, like I was trying to get you guys both on the show together to go back and forth because we wanted to do like an erotic love poetry session with you two doing it back and forth to each other. And we still got that tonight, even though it was for the little piece. But, you know, I have space for you, brother. All you got to do is, you know, I've always given you that latitude, you know, to be able to come on Word Sexy Radio. So, you know, you're welcome. Just let me know, and we can try to get you back on whenever we get that segment for you.
Red, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go on record. Every time I come on, I've always said, you know, you treat me, you treat GPA real well. I got mad
I do.
Love for you. So that ain't no discussion. I had a show earlier that and I didn't want to conflict, and basically I didn't want to take Sheila's time. I wanted her to have us shine and just be able to listen, because I was at my show just leaving, and I was listening like, oh, wow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See what that was. But I love your show. I love what you do, real talk. I just had to do the Mark Robinson
right.
thing, man. I didn't want to, you know, come in like, oh, I'm GPA. You know, no, I didn't want to do that.
I know. But I knew who you was when you called anyway, bro, because I know your voice. But anyway, I had to let the thing go, because everybody out there listening, you know, that's what we do. We entertain, and that's what we do. And it's a good entertainment. It's nothing, you know, in a negative sense. What I'm saying is, what we do is we bring our craft to you, those that are listening, and that's what it's all about. But I'm sure that she is smiling from ear to ear now, and I'm sure she's pretty happy. If I could see her, I know that she is. She's probably wet right now, too. Let me go ahead and say that, because this is Word Sex and Radio, because I know you got her ass fucked up with that shit. But anyway.
But that, you know, that's what he does, is that he gets these women all riled up. And contrary to what he
said.
Well,
you do too. Shit, you fuck them up too. You get men fucked up, probably some women too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes,
so, you know, we're just being real. You know, that's what happens. And I'm glad I added an extended 30 minutes to the show so that you could do this, add this, because, you know, this was very good. And normally, like I said, you know, you guys can call in anytime you want. You don't have to be a guest. That's one thing I don't mind. Is I like having people call in, and I'll let you plug your stuff. All you got to do is just call in, and there's no problem. You know, we have people that come on, they do their thing, and, you know, they like to – what I like to do is make sure everybody is comfortable when they come on Word Sex Radio, because that's why I never send out questions. That's why I never tell you what's going to happen. You just come on the show, and it goes, you know, and that's what makes it more genuine. So
that's what's up.
Well, GPA has the book of 24 Orgasms out. And you can you can find him at iblowyourmind.com. He's got T-shirts.
Damn.
He's got books. He's won awards through Essence. He's been interviewed, you know, and he's got some other stuff that's coming up real soon. So y'all look out for him. He's trying to be modest on here. He count one.
It's not about me. It's all about you. Listen, I got the love letter in my hand. I got the love letter in my hand. I got it. Listen, it's by my nightstand all the time. I get to look at this woman's beautiful picture and read her words, and I'm fortunate. I don't mean to. Fortunate. I get to talk to her all the time, so that's kind of messed up for y'all, but it's good for me. But did I say that?
Yeah, you actually did bust yourself out on fucking radio, but hey,
that's you, man.
You just put this shit all out in the street.
Yeah, I did. Oh,
but she's a good person, though, man. She's good. But guess what, though? She's worth it, though, man. You know, she's worth saying that on the air. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's all good.
She's extremely special. I don't mind saying in front of everybody, I am fortunate. When I said about being blessed and favored, I came from a situation, and, you know, sometimes, Red, you know, we come from situations that leave marks on us, not particularly good ones.
Right.
And sometimes they can be indelible until you meet somebody else, and they're not out for themselves. They're uplifting you and listening and talking to you. And that is what I found in this lady on the phone, and I cannot believe I'm sitting there having a conversation on this freaking show. But, hey, I think the world of you. You are a very special and extraordinarily talented lady, and I'm so glad. I am so glad that you came along and put your saving grace on me and helped me out. I'm a much better man because of it, and I'm a much better poet, definitely, because you've given me inspiration. You've been my muse all these times when I write. When I said mad about you, I was thinking about you. When I did that, that's the thing. That's the first thing off my CD. When I did this poem called Mad About You, and it's her favorite, and when I did that, I had you in mind when I did that. You know that. So, that's
hey,
it.
Hey, y'all
want to
fuck, man? Y'all can go ahead, and y'all can just go ahead and just have y'all sex right here on the line. I'll just turn it off.
No,
you know?
No,
that's just crazy.
That's that.
Y'all,
that That's that mental lovemaking thing that I'm talking about. And I keep telling him that he haven't got the message yet, but he's gonna marry me. He's going to marry me.
Oh my goodness! Oh, all right. Y'all heard it right here on Word Sexy Radio, right here. Right here on Word Sexy Radio. You've heard it right here. So when it comes to fruition, we're going to have y'all on the show as Mr. and Mrs. GPA, and we'll just go ahead and have y'all do your thing.
I'm going to get off. Hey, listen, Rick, mad love for you. Keep up the great work. I look forward to hooking up with you sometime in this fall.
Yeah.
I know you got some things going on. I'm in post. That, but if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to contribute a couple of poems to your joint.
Yeah, you can.
All right, thank you.
We're going to work on that, man.
Sheila, you know what it is. I'm getting out your way. I'm messing with you. Call me when you get done.
All right, honey.
All right, baby. Good night, everybody.
That's what we like on the show. That's what we like. All right. Well, we've had our sex on the show. We've had sexual talk. We've had all kinds of stuff. I mean, we've even had some orgasms.
Yeah.
And that's good. Mm-hmm. We got about 13 minutes left. So, do you want to kind of plug your some information, anything that you got coming up, or anything like that?
I just started doing this show called Skin. And I'm actually going to keep that going. I did my first one on the 25th of August, and it was great. You know, I had the strawberries, the candles, I had complimentary wine, and so I had the silhouette going. And so I've recently found an artist who could actually do some sketching for me. So he and I are going to collaborate, and he's going to do the sketching for some of my pieces. And so I want to keep it going because I feel like Sacramento needs something different. They need a different flavor. It's, it's kind of the same stuff that's constantly saying is the same. I have some beautiful people, Yolanda, Yvette, Kelly, Kyrie. They all contributed to making that show really great for me. Khalil Ross sung, and it was really, really, you would have loved it, Red. You really would have loved it.
Well, I mean, maybe if I get an invitation, I might come out and see one of them shows. You never know.
Yeah, you'll
unless
have
I'm invited.
But you know what? I could, you know, the thought is to take this, I could take this to any city and then just grab people from the city to be a part of the show.
And we can do that. We can bring it here because I do Word Sexy Portrait. Well, we had one we did here called, it was called Word Sexy, but it was basically what it was kind of like what you're doing, but I think yours is a little bit better flavor of it. And I wouldn't mind doing that, bringing you in and you get some, bring some people with you and we can get some poets here. And
yeah.
You guys, it's real big here in Kansas City, so, you know, they're doing this thing. So we won't have a problem getting a venue to do it. We just got to set it up.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll talk
definitely have to talk about doing that.
And bring Mr. GPA and y'all can get up there and do some things and, you know, that'll be all right.
Yeah.
And proposing to him online. Whoa, on the radio. That's all right. She proposed. I should have had that sounder go off on that one.
You didn't make the sounder. You sure did.
I messed up on it because I didn't get to the button in quick enough.
Yeah,
but that's
you weren't expecting to come out of my mouth either.
I wasn't expecting that because I always thought that somebody else was going to marry you, but I guess that's not happening because GPA has come in and taken over, which is a good thing. That's all right.
The spot. But
he did it to you. He made love to your brain, and you just fucking sizzled and shit. That shit just blew your fucking mind, and that's what happened.
and to be honest, because he asked me one day, he said, is it just the poetry? I said, no, it's really not just the poetry. It really is not, because I've heard a lot of
it's just charisma. It's just charisma and everything. He's got a good
it's mannerism, and he's being
right,
polite.
Yeah, he's
definitely
his swag. He's got it. Yeah,
he's definitely.
What I like about him, what I like about the man is he's very cocky and he's confident. That's the thing that women like. Yeah, he's very confident and stuff, and you got to be that way. You got to be like that.
A lot of us love that. We love
yes.
that a man knows what he's got, what he has, and we love that he understands who he is as a man, and you don't have to keep trying to constantly trying to build him up and build him up and build him up, because after a while, it's only so much you can say to keep him up there. But if he's already up
right.
there and you just add to it, then that's great, you know, because you don't want a man who's feeling sorry for himself or whining all the time or, you know, that questioning you, you know, because if he's not confident, he's going to always think that you're out doing something that you're not doing. So now you got to constantly
right.
feeding that area, and it's tiring after a while. So, yeah, you have that same confidence. Yours is just at a different level.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you thinking that. That's pretty good
mm-hmm.
to get that compliment. And, you know, I don't have nobody proposing to me on the radio, but still, it's a great it's a great
that's
way
like,
to you know
not
to
here,
huh?
That's because she's not on here. That's all. She's at home doing
something.
Oh, exactly.
she wouldn't propose to me like that. You think she would? I don't know.
I think when the time came, she probably would.
She might. I don't know. But I gotta make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
She already
huh?
know how you think about her. That's why.
Well, she does know, and I do tell her. I tell her every day how I feel about her, and I'm going to tell her again when I get off this radio show. But still, the thing is, you know, I mean, you know, it's just you got to be that way. And it's not that you're weak because you're telling your woman how you feel. Men, you need to stop thinking that. You got to let them know where you're coming from, man, so that they can know what they're getting, and then they'll give you. You'd be surprised what they'll do for you when you actually are truthful to them and tell them how you really feel. And mean it and show them.
Yeah, definitely. And then women need to stop sitting back waiting on the man to, you know, close mouth don't get fed. So if I see somebody I want, I'm going to let him know. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to hook up or I'm going to lose my mind if we don't hook up. If we don't hook up, we just don't. It's probably not meant to be, but at least he knows how I felt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
that's
we could
establish,
we could have a great friendship from that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
yeah, because I know I've been in that boat, and I know how it is.
Yeah,
to be friends with someone who told me they like me, and I didn't do the right thing, I guess, or at that time, or I wasn't meant, or whatever it was. But now they've gone on, and it's okay.
Well, sometimes
I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them, though. I'm happy that they're able to.
Sometimes it is meant to be a great friendship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You would have liked to have it to been more, but it didn't work out. But it worked out the way God intended it to.
Right.
You
know? Absolutely.
So that's how I look at it. You know, because
I know that I'm very close to that person. Now. I'm a very good friend of them, and I would not do them wrong. I don't care. You know, they're friends. They're my friend now. So I mean, really, I've been knowing them for a while, and I would never. You know, I'm happy for her. I'm glad that she's found somebody that she can get into and be with.
I have friends like that too. That I'm very happy that they're
yeah.
in relationships because I want I want to see them happy. It's not
right.
that they have to be with me. It's just I want to see you happy. And if it's not with me, I still want to see you happy. I want you to have the best. And if I can contribute to your happiness in some way, then I would love to do that too, you know.
Right.
So, because there's a respect level in that we are great friends, and I love your friendship.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
kind of.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, because like I said, you know, that's what real friends do. You know,
yeah.
they recognize if there's something that may not be there, that doesn't mean you can't be. So, you know, you know. It wasn't just a sexual thing then. It was more than that. It was caring about that person and really liking them past
so
the sex piece.
Right.
So liking
are.
Them for who they are. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I wanna definitely thank you for coming on the show, and you know, you're always welcome to come on, and I'm glad that you gave all your personal side of you and gave us a couple of pieces that you gave us. And that GPA called in and was able to make you happy. I'm glad for that.
Yeah, that's good. I thank you for having me on, Red. I love coming on your show.
Well, you know, you're always welcome to come on. Like I said, I mean, and you don't have to be invited. You can just come on. So, and we'll have you on.
Is DV going to be listening to this?
He might. He doesn't know this show was supposed to happen because he that's why he's not on here.
So, DV, I love you. I'm supposed to say that in advance. I love that you're a really great person. But if ever Red decides he's a new host, he can call me.
All right. Well, you heard it here on Word Sexy Radio. She's going for the job. All right. Well, we thank you, and we're going to let this song carry us on out, all right? So I'll be talking to you.
All right, baby.
Okay. All right.
Central Standard Time.